took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from
a vision to support our brother and sister Christians
and those who are still seeking Jesus
by applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus
and his people,
and he wants us to strengthen his disciples
to get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome back to another episode of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David, and I'm with my brother,
Pastor Barry.
Yes. Oh, well, we had a good program last week. We were talking about, you know, get your rest in Jesus.
Sounds like we should get a T-shirt that says that and have a tagline. Come on, people.
You know, someone may have already made that T-shirt.
That's true.
You know, I think if not, it is a good idea. Get your rest
in Jesus.
In Jesus, because that's really the only way you're going to get good rest.
Mm-hmm.
But the theme for this program is something that Barry and I were talking. Actually, Barry's got a story.
Very current story.
Very current story about one of his family members.
Mm-hmm.
Who had a really terrible accident, and he'll tell you more about that. But the theme is God protects his people, and in fact, that reminded me of a story that I have from my own life.
Okay.
When I was about that family member's age. So,
okay.
But God protects his people, and it's always important to remind people of that, because some folks don't understand, you know, what that means, and that now we also will also be splitting hairs down the way. And what does it often sometimes mean to be protected?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And I'll have to tell you right now, it doesn't mean you get kept from frightening, frustrating, anxious moments.
Never promised a rose garden.
Never promised a rose garden, or the one I have usually has thorns. You know, we talk about that. But the scripture that we want to offer as a foundational scripture for our discussion tonight is, it's from Psalm 5, verse 11 and 12, and David writes, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice." And you, of course, is God. He's speaking to God the Father. For them ever sing for joy. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and cover him with favor, as with a shield. Now, there's several different ways of looking at the word protection.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to talk, this is stories that Barry and I both have, start with physical protection. But we also know God doesn't do just one thing.
No, it's a little deeper than that, David.
A little deeper. So there's also the spiritual side, the emotional side that can be discerned in hearing these two stories.
Absolutely.
So because, Barry, your story is fresher and mine is old and needs the dust,
go dust it off, David.
Tell us your story.
This family member is young and was driving home from fishing, minding his own business. He was driving his pickup truck. Out of nowhere came a car like a missile, doing well over 70 miles an hour, and hit him from behind while he was pretty much standing still. He was just leaving a traffic light, so just starting out. And if you know how well-made some of these big pickup trucks are, they're heavy, a lot of steel there. The back of his was wiped away as if it didn't exist. The tires were bent off the rims.
Mm.
The vehicle was just destroyed, and the car that hit him was even more destroyed. There were parts and pieces everywhere. And because we have such a loving Lord, he had this boy walk out of what was once a truck, now in pieces, without a scratch.
Mm.
I'm saying there's no scratch on his hands, his face, and he just simply walked to the side of the road and waited for the police. And I think he was in a state of shock for a while. But I told the rest of my family, you're witnessing the love of God here.
Mm-hmm.
You're witnessing the power of God here. And I just have to tell everybody that will listen or won't listen about this, because we should give praise reports about God's protection and love of his people. Let the world know, because this is a God that's a living God. He's involved with each and every one of our lives, every moment of the day and night. And in this particular instance, that boy was saved,
amen,
protected. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
When you shared, described for me the state of his vehicle,
mm-hmm,
and I used to be an auto adjuster many, many decades ago,
mm-hmm,
and used to write estimates on damaged vehicles, and I kind of know when you see a truck that has that much damage, a big pickup truck,
yeah,
a full-size pickup truck with a regular frame,
mm-hmm,
and all the glass in the cab was knocked out, destroyed.
Door came off.
The rear tailgate, you said, was gone.
Yeah.
The rear bed was undoubtedly crinkled up and
bent.
Got to be some
torn
frame damage, you know. And I can see if they were going 70 miles an hour and the other vehicle was not a small vehicle either. It was another SUV. That it was only the hand of God that kept him from having any injury.
Absolutely. Or even kept the two of the vehicles from blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking gasoline, folks.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's a great, I really picked that up, mm-hmm, when you shared with me last night about that, that the hand of God is in this because of the total lack of physical injury.
Right.
And so, you know, I know personally, because you and I talk so much, that your whole family is being prayed for by you and, you know, by us too. And
our church group.
Church group. And so I know they're covered in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just automatically, the Lord said, yep, I did this. Yeah. So we give God the glory for this.
Every time, absolutely, all the time.
Now, my story, I may have actually told this on a previous program, maybe, or several years ago, or maybe I'm just imagining it. I don't know.
David, we've been on the air for 2 years.
Yeah, more than that, actually.
More than 2 years.
Yeah. So. We started May 9th of 2021.
Yeah.
So we're just a little over 2 years.
Yeah.
But, this is another automotive thing. And I was 19 or 20. I think I was closer to 20. And I was living in Central Florida at that time, going to a community college.
Mm-hmm.
When I had graduated high school and was going on to this for an AA degree, we finally found a car I could afford, which was a 1960 Chevrolet Corvair.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Some people saying, what? What?
It's a cool-looking car.
Well, you know, this was the first year of the Corvair,
mm-hmm,
and they looked better as the years went on. This one is kind of frumpy-looking, but it was a car. It got me from A to Z, and but it was rear heavy because the engine was in the rear, and
right,
you know, it was not really a lot of weight up front,
mm-hmm,
unless, you know, of course I was heavy in those days, so maybe I added to it. But at any rate, and I was living in Winter Haven at that time, and had a friend of mine who was also in the same school I was in Winter Haven, and he had a job in Lake Wales working for a newspaper, and I'd gotten a call from him because his dad had to take him to work, but his dad couldn't pick him up.
Mm.
Would I pick him up? Well, it was a 15-mile drive. But the back roads, back then, a lot of the county roads. And so I went to pick him up. And coming back into Winter Haven on, some people live there, know 540, just an old two-lane blacktop, pretty straight, really, from U.S. 27 into Winter Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there's a couple places, you know, where there's sort of a hill, and you crest the hill, and then you come down the other side. And one of those hills was a neighborhood bar called the Oyster Bar.
In the middle of the state.
Middle of the state. It was pretty much, it was a neighborhood bar because there were neighborhoods on both sides. But, you know, and the parking lot was right off the highway. And coming back, and I don't think I was really speeding, but I wasn't really looking.
Okay.
Either. But we were talking. We crest the hill. And as soon as I start at the crest of the hill, I see a big old Ford F-150 pickup truck backing right out into my lane of travel.
Ooh.
Now, I'm going to say I could have been 100 feet from the guy. And I see he's not looking. Now, he might have, he's pulling out of a bar parking lot, so my guess is there was a certain level of inebriation there. And so it really immediately comes to me that I have to make a radical change in the direction of this car.
Okay.
But I'm going to have to slow it down. So I hit the brakes. I lock the brakes. The car begins sliding, and this is when he hears the screeching tires. He looks up at me, and what I'm sure was an alcoholic haze, his eyes begin to slowly get bigger. I mean, I could see this. Well, and what's happening now, I'm remembering this in slow-mo because that's how things happen when you're in a situation that. And so immediately, now let me just preface this by saying, I'd only been driving for less than 2 years on my own, you know, with my operator's license. And I never had a situation like this. So I was never trained to drive like you need to drive to get out of the situation. So I'm just, now I realize it was being prompted by the Spirit. Okay. So I hit the brakes. And this, the road next to the bar and the parking lot of the bar is sand. It's not paved. So when people coming in and out of both, there's sand on the road. So what happens, because the Corvair was heavy on the rear begins sliding. So now what's happening, my wheels are locked. I'm actually sliding sideways towards this pickup truck.
Oh.
And then it comes to me, I've got to get some forward movement. So my foot is off the brake and I hit the gas. I just floor it. And the wheels start turning and catching and I'm not going any forward, but I'm still going sideways. But finally, the wheels, the tires catch pavement, and I rock it right. I mean, I don't know how close we were to this pickup truck. Maybe 10 feet, right?
Whoa.
But I rock it past the pickup truck, and I know immediately that I'm going to have to turn the wheel or I'm going to go off the road so I can stay and go around this truck. Well, as soon as I get past where I can see the oncoming traffic, there's a vehicle heading right at me. Now, I don't know how far away we were, but because now my tires had traction, my foot was totally on that gas pedal, we whip around the back of the pickup, and I immediately begin turning the wheel to the right to gain that right lane again. And the end result is that we went no wreck. We didn't hit anything. Finally I get in the other lane and I straighten out and I just pull off the side of the road because both of us are going, it was like, whoa, you know, heart racing at about 200 beats a minute. And we look at each other and my friend says, where did you learn to drive like that? And I said, his name was Glenn. I said, Glenn, I don't know how to drive like that. And it was later on, because I really wasn't saved then, but even before then, people were praying. I know my mother was praying for me, that God protected me. And I firmly believe in, you know, angels as messengers of God. And Scripture tells us that he sends them, and you know, not just as messengers, but to watch out and protect us. And so that's what I believe. You know, God showed me how to drive. He drove.
He grabbed the wheel. He took care of the situation.
That's right.
Note, people, that David actually said that the Corvair rocketed forward.
I know, that was unusual.
For you Corvair enthusiasts, yes, he got a little horsepower out of that rear engine and moved on.
It was, and that probably, too, was because of my perceptions. But we were able to get around. I mean, both Glenn and I said, how could we not have had a wreck?
Right.
You know, and back then, you know, I wasn't saved, you know. Although I had a suspicion God was involved in it, but you know, it was a story, you know, we both told and over the years.
Did he ever ride with you again?
Yeah, actually, okay. He did. No, he recognized, if anything, he had a higher esteem for my driving, even though now I know it was the hand of God. But it did, and it's one of many. I've had several moments like this when God had to take over. Some were automotive, and there were some other things that happened. I know God was watching out for me, protecting me. And I've heard so many stories from other believers.
I've seen stories coming out of Ukraine where very heroic but absolutely frightened individuals would load up a car with children and take off west to get away from the battles. Sometimes having to drive with screaming children in a car through a firefight.
Yeah, yeah.
And they could not stop. They had to floor it like you did and just keep going. And they bought out, if not hundreds of children out of the war zone. That's God's protection, because you're driving a flimsy little foreign-made car that probably has the thinnest metal you've ever seen.
Yes.
And they're making it. All that being said, you know, when it comes to war, how many soldiers have looked back at situations and said, how did I ever make it out of that?
Right.
My dad was one of them. Wasn't particularly religious before he went into the Navy in World War II, but he did get himself baptized. He found out he wasn't baptized.
Oh.
And his parents said, well, we never got around to it. You know, so he went to an Episcopal church up in New York, and they did an emergency baptism for soldiers that day. If you're going off and you haven't been baptized, we'll take care of you. And so he got in line and got himself baptized. And one particular battle, I forget the name of it, might have been the Coral Sea, I don't know. I'm not an official study of all that, but he was firing his weapon at the planes coming in, and they blew up his ship. He woke up underwater. The water was on fire with gasoline, swam underwater to the next ship. They blew that one up. The third one was a charm, and it was a 24-hour constant battle. And he said strange things happen when you're going through a battle like that, or in your situation, you know, with the car. He said the same thing, that time slows down.
Yeah.
He had no idea 24 hours went by. He also had no idea that he had pieces of metal sticking out of his back and the back of his legs and the back of his neck. And back then, you know, without antibiotics, they just took a pair of pliers and pulled it out and put some tape on it and hope for the best. But he always wondered how, and then he also wondered why he lived and all of his fellow sailors died. And that's another, that's, you know, fodder for another show.
I think, you know, so.
Survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
But, you know, the hand of God, if you think about how many men cry out to the Lord without even a formal or an informal prayer, but just yelling out the name Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, that's a very powerful prayer in that situation.
Crying out. It's probably out the best prayer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have time for flowers, and, you know, I got to just say, hey, Lord, help me.
Help me.
That's the best prayer. And because we've opened up the whole issue, you just touched on it. Mm-hmm. When your father said, how come I survived and many of my shipmates did not?
Mm-hmm.
And already some people, when we started talking about this, saying, well, that can't be true, that God protects, because this person or that person that I know or my loved one, you know,
Didn't survive.
Or wasn't protected, or, you know, maybe they're still alive, but, well, and so, you know, the question really, this is going to sound like we're blowing it off, and we're not going to do that, but you really, if you have any questions about that, God's the best one to ask. He will tell you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's answered questions I've had about that, because if we really, really need to know, you know, if it's an issue that impacts our faith, you know. Now, it's clear I can say, answer some people, they're not God believers, and they're not being prayed for. And so God loves them, but, you know, a lot of things that happen to us that cause great injury or even death might have been avoided if we had been seeking God's will and his guidance. And that's critical to know, because how many, I mean, I've heard stories of people saying, well, I was going to fly somewhere, and I just didn't feel like taking that flight, or I knew it was wrong, so I either canceled or I moved my ticket, and that plane crashed. There are stories like that out there. Well, you know, you have to, the other side of that is we have free will.
We do, which is both a blessing and a curse.
Well, I think it's, yeah, I guess I'm going to say it's more of a blessing.
Yeah.
Because we God will not force himself on us, including his protection.
Mm. I have another story that just popped in my head, David. I worked with a doctor who was driving his little Beamer in a busy highway in Fort Lauderdale. And he was hit head-on by a semi-tractor-trailer rig that had gone over the curb and hit him. And the steering wheel went through his chest. So he was pinned in the seat like a bug on a card.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is the hand of God right here. In the hospital that day, there was a surgeon from another country, and his specialty, that it was brand new surgery, was reattaching lung tissue. He could take a lung that looked like it was a piece of meat on the floor of Publix from the, you know, the meat department, and reattach it. So he was in the operating room. There was a brand new trauma ER doc in the emergency room. They had specially trained nurses to assist this foreign doctor in his lung transplants and his lung reattachments.
Hmm.
All that was in place when they brought this doctor in with a steering wheel that had cut his lung off and pushed his heart to the side. Whisk him into the OR, and he made it.
Wow.
And I think it amazed him as a physician, knowing what they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
If that foreign physician visiting for a lecture wasn't there, if the trauma team, special trained trauma nurses weren't there, if this new trauma ER doc wasn't there, what if everything was put in place
mm-hmm.
by God?
Yeah.
If this is going to happen to you, I will protect you. And a little PS on that is that that doctor was a much better doctor after that. He was more compassionate, better bedside manner.
Everything changed for the better.
It did. It was a grand plan unfolding,
yeah.
And we got to witness that.
You know, the whole thing that we've talked about thus far does raise, I think, because of the question that I posed on behalf of many listeners is, what about, you know, when I don't get protected or whatever? And, yeah, what I said, I want to reiterate that we need to be, when people are in communion with God,
mm-hmm.
when we're praying and we're seeking to hear him, you know, tell us what is important, he will certainly convey to us the things we should and should not do. And we will perceive the Spirit actually speaking to us, touch, in some ways I felt tugging, you know, on my heart to make a decision or, you know, to not do something or to do something. So there's that. And you have to question your own life and say, well, was I really listening to God when this thing happened?
Ah.
You know, but then we also know that there are times when God allows things to happen to us because he has a teaching for us. He has something he wants us to learn, that we'll come out of that experience stronger if we, again, you know, open our hearts to him, not get upset with him. God, why'd you let this happen? You know, and when God is, wait a minute, let me tell you why, you know. We always think that if we're in Christ, nothing bad can happen to us. Well, that isn't true. And I've got stories, and you do, Barry, of going through some horrendous times.
Oh, yeah.
Where we suffered. But the outcome was a stronger spiritual life, clearer understanding of who God really is.
Mm-hmm.
And to boot, you know, a deeper relationship with people that were part of that process.
We were talking at work about angels the other day and spiritual warfare. I said, I think if you could look around this room that we're all sitting in and see the battle going on with the demons and the angels, you would first be absolutely shocked and horrified of what was going on all around you that you can't see. But it would also reinforce the fact that those angels are fighting on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, the Lord our God is protecting us from evil. And these,
absolutely,
you know, angels are always portrayed as, you know, cute little cherubs, you know, little babies with little wings and things like that. But I got a quick story. I tell you what, when Joyce Joyce. I just had a brain fart. Joyce, she's on your radio program every day.
Oh, Joyce Meyer.
Thank you. Wow, I'm sorry, folks. Joyce Meyer's told a story where she was preaching in a big, big venue, probably 5,000 people. And as she was preaching, she heard a man in the back of the building screaming and carrying on. And you could see security running toward that spot. And they took him away. Well, during her break where she would, you know, get a drink of water and whatnot, she said, what happened to him? Well, he's in a holding cell waiting for the police. She went to talk to him. She had to talk to him. And he says, I wasn't trying to cause a disruption. I don't even believe in anything. I just took my wife to hear you speak. But I'm telling you this, all around you are 12-foot tall angels with swords. They're huge. They're all around you, Joyce. They formed like a hedge around you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she basically brought him to Christ that day.
Wow.
Then she got back on the stage and she said, you can say and do whatever you want. I got 12-foot angels all around me. The Lord's protecting me.
Amen. And at least some of them know how to drive.
And sorry, Joyce, I didn't remember your last name. I'm having a moment.
Well, the odds of her hearing this program are probably pretty low. So I don't think she's being offended. But
okay.
Yeah. And again, this is a point, you know, we in 26, 27 minutes, it's going to be hard to unpack everything. So
well, sure.
We may have to revisit this.
Well, yeah.
But I think, if anything, I hope that the listeners have been inspired to pray about this, to consider, get on your knees with the Lord and say, what about this protection thing? You know, and the scriptures that talk about it, we had one here from Psalm 5, you know, where you bless the righteous, O Lord, you cover him with favor as a shield. And of course, the word righteous is very significant because it talks about having a right relationship with the Lord. And
that's right.
For us Christians, you know, that we really talk about being saved, having invited Jesus into your life, and as Lord and Savior, repenting of your sins and being covered by the blood of Christ. So that's probably an entry point for many who are questioning what we're talking about. We'll probably revisit this.
I think
Mary,
we should.
Don't you think we ought
because
to?
Because there's a lot more meat on the bone. We need to do that. We need to have a part two.
Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, right now, that's going to come down the road. We have to say goodbye.
Goodbye. God bless. Be God, well.
We love you. Thank you for listening.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.